Okay, move out.
You're listening to the Valor Podcast, a show that highlights the men and women who defend the United States of America and the people who support them.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Hello and welcome to the Valor Podcast. According to the Department of Labor, the government agency, in 2010, there were 11.8 million veterans working or looking for work, accounting for 7.7% of the U.S. labor force. That is a lot of highly qualified and trained veterans, but more on that in a minute. I want to thank the Hershey Miyamura Korean War Chapter for sponsoring the show. They're based in central New Mexico. They're a great bunch of patriots and veterans who have helped the Valor Podcast and other organizations around town. If you know a Korean War veteran, talk to them about joining a local chapter in their state or city. I promise they'll get out of the house, they'll relive their glory days and make a new friend or two. Today we're speaking with Air Force veteran Renee Moya. Moya served as a staff sergeant as a supply clerk in the Air Force. She currently serves as a vice president of technology and staffing for New Mexico for Robert Half Technology, a specialized staffing agency. Thanks for joining us, Renee.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to go off the first thing on hiring a veteran. What are some benefits to hiring a veteran? I mean, I'm Captain Obvious. I'm like, yeah, they're put together. They're squared away.
Well, absolutely. Well, as you mentioned earlier, a job search for a veteran and hiring a job search is unique and it has some challenges. However, it's one of the highest unemployments after post 9/11. And so, you know, I think it's important that the employer can really understand those transferable skills that a veteran brings to an organization and that veteran can basically communicate and articulate, you know, what value that they bring. So what I would recommend as an employer is really considering those transferable skills and those soft skills that are important when you are building a team. And that could be leadership. It could be team building, adaptability. Often as a military professional, you are required to learn very complex and proprietary niche systems. So the ability to learn those type of systems are very high with veterans. And so those are some of the attributes that you can expect to get when you hire a veteran.
And they're working on million or billion dollar machines. I mean, it's...
Absolutely. I worked in supply, so I absolutely know the cost of that.
Speaking about your supply career, I mean, how did you, as a veteran, how did you see the value in what you did and transfer it to the civilian world?
So my story is very interesting in the sense that, you know, I joined the military pretty early in my life. It's a long time ago. I think I was 19 years old or so. And so I served in the military for 7 years. And when I got out, I really didn't know what those transferable skills are. But I actually took the transition assistance program. I'm not sure if it's called that now, but and it helped me identify what my skill set was compared to the outside world. And I really kind of thought about what are those transferable skills. And I basically started doing some research. And I found that as a recruiter, part of our job is to really go out and find technical people and encourage them to consider professions on the outside. And so when I called the employer that hired me back then, basically what I shared with them was, you know, I come from a military background and other military people trust what their counterparts say. And I have, you know, a customer to bring to you. And so at the time I didn't realize what I was doing, but now as an employment expert, I understand that I identified the value for that employer who really didn't have any background in the military and she didn't understand what that value was. So I had to communicate that to her. And luckily I did that, not even knowing I was doing that at the time.
So when you separated from the military, I know there's all those things like in the military, you're told what time to wake up, what time to go to work, what time to get off, what time to go to lunch, all that. How did that freedom of getting out and like, now you have to go, oh, I got to go find a job. And you know, maybe this job isn't a 9-to-5, maybe it's a swing shift kind of deal.
Sure. Well, it's certainly an adjustment. I mean, I think I took that work ethic to the commercial sector, which again is another value that an employer can expect to receive. So I think that actually benefited me to have that same expectation and that same work ethic. However, you know, I just tried to make an adjustment to that corporate culture, and I just tried to be very cognizant of, you know, what was happening around me. And again, that's another benefit, is being adaptable, because, you know, moving to so many different bases and working in so many different, you know, work cultures and you know, interacting with different people, I think enabled me to be very intuitive on how to kind of adapt to that outside sector.
Definitely. And I mean, you probably worked with a guy or girl that you probably absolutely hated in the military. You're like, I hate that guy or I hate that girl. But at the end of the day, you're like, they have my back.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, there's definitely camaraderie in the military. And I think, you know, we're all in the same boat. And so big picture wise, I mean, I totally understood that even at an earlier stage in my career. But, you know, we all had a greater good. And so I look back upon that time in my life, and I really do think that it has benefited not only myself, but my employer, because, you know, I look beyond all of those, you know, interpersonal conflicts when they happen, or, you know, the ups and downs of, you know, any job, and really focus on the mission.
Definitely. And the unique thing about military life is you actually know when you're getting out, or you know when you're retired. I mean, not unless you're a knucklehead and, you know, you get a DWI or something.
Sure.
Like that. But how, what can a veteran do to prepare for the transition to whatever career they want? I mean, to me, they're highly valuable, and they could pretty much bargain for anything that they want.
Sure. Well, I mean, this is advice I would give really to any job seeker, but especially to a veteran. I mean, the transition period may take a little bit more prep work, because you are essentially changing careers completely. And so, I mean, in some cases you're staying in the same field, and, you know, and that transition may be a little bit more direct than if you're changing careers, which is what I did. And so what I would recommend is that you treat your job search or your transition as a job. And so the first thing you should do is you should prepare. You know, you should make sure that you write a good resume, that you research. I mean, you know, there's so much information on the web, that you go and you research, you know, what does the job market look like in the civilian sector? What are job, you know, industry standard job descriptions? What do those job titles look for? And then do a skills inventory on what your transferable skills are, and, you know your value. And so the more preparation you do for that, the more you're going to be able to articulate what that value is.
How can a veteran job seeker network to a job? You know, there's all these industries, you know, there's the firearm industry, there's the
sure.
supply, there's government, you know, procurement, there's all kinds of things that you know, that look for those government, former government employees, just to plug them right in.
Absolutely. Well, you know, part of that, like I said, is preparation and research. There are so many resources out there available to veterans. And so, you know, go online and look at that. You know, you have Hire Heroes USA, you have Vet Central, Make the Connection website, Department of Labor, Workforce Connections. Even Robert Half has a career opportunity site for veterans, which helps you translate your military job title and code to, you know, what the comparable title is out there in the civilian sector. So first of all, know that there's resources out there and take advantage of them. Go out there and research that. I mean, many programs are offering career counseling and resources for veterans. So, I mean, why not, you know, leverage that? I would say research the civilian job market. Research top recruitment firms like Robert Half. There are military-friendly employers, just as you alluded to, and there is a site, Victory Media, publishes an annual list of the top 100 military-friendly employers. And so go on there and look at that. But the other thing to keep in mind is often career opportunities are made from connections. And so if you can connect with a hiring manager or someone that is involved in the hiring process, then, you know, that could get your foot in the door. And so when you think about how many people have served our country, I mean, millions of people have served in the military, you may have that connection with a hiring manager sitting across from you. So look at your network, you know, the people that you know, people that, you know, that you've worked with before, maybe they've transitioned, and, you know, who you're interviewing with, you know, look at their background. LinkedIn is a great resource, you know, not only for online networking, but to do a little bit of research. And then networking wise in general, make sure you're networking online, but also make sure that you're getting out in the civilian community. So go get involved in groups. The more people you meet, the better, the more likelihood you're going to find a connection with someone, either because they're former military, perhaps they, you know, lived in a country or, you know, state that you did. Maybe they speak a language that you do. I mean, the great thing about being a veteran is we have been exposed to so much professionally and personally, the likelihood of us connecting with someone else is pretty high. You just have to talk about it.
Definitely. And I tell my kids, and even to be observant, to look around, look at people's desks, look at people's walls, because sometimes they have that proud military moment, whether it's their dad, granddad, or even them. And so sometimes, just to give an example, maybe it's an Air Force veteran and they have, you know, Army Air Corps or something about that that's making them proud. I mean, how should somebody, you know, kind of approach that topic and not sort of become gimmicky and sales pitchy, but
sure,
say, hey, what's the story behind that?
Well, I think I would treat it just as you would a friend. You know, if you made a new friend and you know, had the connection of serving in the military with that, you know, as well, it'd be as simple as acknowledging that, you know, thank you for your service. I served in the military as well. Where were you stationed? And just, you know, opening up a line of conversation to kind of, you know, open up that connection.
And so let's go to the I guess the dance, if you will. You know, you get invited, also known as the interview.
Mm-hmm.
There's all that, you know, kind of, you got that stomach churning thing, like, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? How can a veteran set themselves apart in the interview process? What are some things that, one, that they can kind of express? And then we'll get to a little bit later on what else they can do.
Well, I mean, again, you know, this is something I think is applicable to any job seeker. You know, so number one, you should prepare. You know, so, you know, do your research, know that, look up that employer, research that person you're interviewing with, and then go in there with a game plan. Have an elevator pitch. You know, who are you? What do you do? And, you know what you're going to communicate to them about those connections. So as you're researching the interviewer and you see they're in the military, you know, be prepared to address that. You see they lived at XYZ and so did you. So, I mean, I would say number one, have a plan. And then number two, know your skills inventory and what those transferable skills are and know how to translate them, you know, to that employer. And so, you know, it's as simple as, you know, looking at your own background, making that list, and then going to that company website and, you know, viewing what is that company's mission? Let's dissect the job description. What skill sets are looking for? Not only, you know, hard technical skills, but soft skills, and kind of connect the dots. But you have to practice. You can't just do it on the fly. And so the more that you prepare, research, and practice, whether you're a job seeker, veteran, it's going to benefit you.
Sounds like a military mission, if you will. Like,
absolutely.
You got
that's
your
a great
intel,
way to put it.
You got your supply, you got everything.
Absolutely.
Maybe what is some thing that you look back in the Air Force, like a moment that was like that, where you researched, you're part of a mission, you're part of a goal that you're proud of?
Well, I mean, for me, the transition, you know, I remember getting out of the military and, you know, I had this, again, being early in my life, I had this big unknown variable. And so I remember making a concerted effort. And again, no one really advised me. And I didn't, you know, it was really because I had no other choice. I mean, I went out, I interviewed, I sent resumes, and I wasn't getting the response I expected because, you know, I came out of the military proud and felt like I had accomplished something and I had, you know, been recognized in the military. So I thought I had a lot to offer. And so I was a bit kind of taken aback that that wasn't immediately identified.
You're like,
I'm like, what's wrong with these employers?
Are they not American?
You know, I really had to kind of take a step back and go and get a plan and do my research. And so, you know, once I did that, I did really get a sense of accomplishment, you know, going out there and in a way, you know, leading that interview and being able to articulate to the person sitting across from me what value. And don't underestimate telling someone the value I bring to your organization is, and laying that out for them. And like I said, there's so many transferable soft skills, some of the things that we had already mentioned, that, you know, employers, you know, would benefit from and that they really do look for.
And going to the back to the interview process, you know, everybody, especially with the new technologies and movies and things, people are enamored with war and, you know, the military life, and, you know, it's all, you know, the glory of America and things like that. So, I mean, not everybody is in a combat role. Not everybody saw action. But what are some things that are kind of like, I'm not sure if they're against the law or no-nos that are kind of just not appropriate to ask from in terms of the interviewer asking the veteran sitting there? Like, what are some things that
Well, certainly. I mean, you know, there's some, you know, obvious things, regardless of whether you're a veteran or not, in terms of, you know, marital status, you know, whether you have children, you know, religion, you know, things like that. That's certainly a no-no in the commercial sector. But I mean, as an employer, I would say you might want to be very conscientious about, you know, sensitive subjects. You know, if somebody did serve, I mean, you know, it was likely a high stress situation. And I think in generalities, that's okay to touch on because there's probably some really, really solid skills that a person can bring, you know, coming out of that type of a high stress situation that can be applied to, you know, your position or your company. But just know that you probably want to touch on that on the surface level so that, you know, it doesn't take a negative direction.
Definitely. And then if it does, how can the veteran kind of take control of it and not sort of just shut it down and become, and, you know, get that, maybe the civilian or whatever, get the stereotype, oh, they're just, you know, quiet and proud people and they don't like to talk about it. Like, how can, you know, they kind of do the, oh, shiny metal object.
Sure. Deflecting. Sure. Well, I think like any situation, you know, we all have ups and downs in our life and our career. And so if you ever are asked a question that is, you know, not positive, or maybe it was a time in your life, you know, could have been, you know, getting let go or laid off from an organization. It could have been a high stress combat situation that's difficult to talk about. You know, just know what your key points are and focus on the positives, and generally less is more. And so, you know, talk about it from a high level, general, and then, you know, move on.
Definitely. And so let's just take, you know, Captain Obvious. He said he did great in the interview. He gets hired, or, you know, she got hired. What are some good things to do to prepare for the next step in getting hired, like negotiation process and things like that? Because, you know, I've heard some people, they're like, oh, well, we hire veterans, we're proud of them and all that, but they don't really treat the veteran or the other employees very well. What are some things to keep in mind?
Well, again, it's research. So you want to know your value, and you want to know what the job market bears. And so there's tons of resources out there. Again, you know, I'll point to the obvious, you know, Robert Half International. I mean, we're an employment expert. You can go onto our site and you can look at salaries for, you know, industry standard positions. So know what the job market bears, you know, ask around, you know, with your own personal network, but be prepared to define what your value is and how you compare to the job requirements and what you're going to bring to the organization. And don't be afraid to negotiate. I mean, a company is not going to offer you their best salary right out of the gates. And so, you know, if it's what you're looking for and you're happy with it, and you know there's other value there besides money, because there certainly is a lot of opportunity, then you know, by all means accept. But if it's not exactly where you want to be, don't be afraid to negotiate. And there's other areas you can negotiate besides comp. You know, it could be early reviews, it could be vacation time, I mean, could be training. There's a lot of other things you can look at, but again, you have to prepare and you have to do your research, or you know, you're going to be winging it.
Or company helicopter.
Oh, hey, yeah, absolutely. I have one parked up back.
Yeah, on the helipad.
I wish.
And so, you know, the interesting thing that I find fascinating about the veterans in the workplace is, you know, they're put in high-stress situations, and you know, there's other people that maybe a civilian that had the same, maybe had the same kind of experience in a civilian situation. But how can you help the workplace environment to kind of bridge the gap of civilian and veteran? Because I mean, a civilian does it one way, a veteran does it another. There's quirks. I pick up on them all the time, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And it doesn't bother me either.
Sure.
Or, but it's just like, oh, that's pretty cool.
You know, that's a great question. I think sometimes we just overanalyze that. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all people. And granted, our experience and our exposures, you know, may give us different attributes. But I think that, you know, if you really just focus on, you know, doing a great job, on what the, you know, the greater good, the end all mission is, and, you know, really kind of identify, again, knowing your value and knowing those skills, what that is, and then, you know, being very focused on bringing those to the table. So again, you know, working in a team, you know, being accountable, you know, being open to change, like just being very cognizant what those maybe unique skills are that you maybe don't necessarily have, that someone else doesn't, but you probably have had to deal with change a lot more than the average person. And so just know that that's a strength of yours, and just be very cognizant in the actions that you take are aligned with those attributes.
And another thing that I sometimes hear in the workplace, and not to, you know, throw the workplace under the bus, but you know, you get a lot of people together, there's a lot of varying opinions, but they're like, they see combat veteran, or they see, you know, sort of that, and they're like, oh man, that guy or girl is crazy. And I'm like, no, they're probably crazy fun. That's they're veterans. I love them.
Sure.
And so how can, like you alluded to, we're human. How do we break down those stereotypes and just develop a better team atmosphere?
Well, I mean, I guess I would say be cognizant of your own personal reaction, you know, when those kind of situations come up. And I would focus on the positive attributes of any of those type of situations. So when I think of a combat veteran, like you said, there might be people that aren't, don't have a military background that may think, oh, you know, they're, you know, going to be overly intense or, you know, crazy, like you said. But when I think of it, and maybe it's because I've come from a military background, or maybe because I'm an employment expert or have a broader view, I think of someone that can deal with a high stress situation and who is good on the fly and is adaptable. And so if you yourself as that veteran know what those stereotypes, you know, are, and you know what the positive attributes that came out of that situation are, then focus on those positive attributes and not only communicate those to your teammates and your employer, you know, through conversations, but through your actions.
Yeah. I mean, like to me, I would be not to stereotype or anything, but I'd be like, you are the perfect guy to get us to the airport on time because you did convoys.
And absolutely. Yeah. So you can make light of it, you know, when a situation comes up. I mean, you know, you can share that, you know, with someone, but I think, you know, through your actions, just being aware, you know, that is a potential stereotype, or, you know, if someone says that, instead of getting defensive about it, just, you know, make a comment or, you know, take action, you know, in a positive light, because there's a lot of very valuable attributes that come out of not only serving, but, you know, serving in those type of situations.
Definitely. And even in the service time, I mean, you guys have a lot of downtimes, you know, hurry up and wait is
sure.
Kind of a mantra. So, I mean, there's a lot of time to talk and debate different issues. And so I feel like a veteran in the workplace could bring the best argument of insert any subject, because they think it out. They have a really great, you know, plan, and they can, I think they bring great humor to the workplace and you know, some, it may be a little bit dark, but I like it.
Well, I mean, in general, like I said, as a veteran, and I'm a military brat as well. So, I mean, you know, my personal and my professional experiences and life and exposure and just, you know, overall personal, I mean, it's so diverse. And, you know, again, I have friends that have lived here their entire life and, you know, they have some great attributes as well. But I mean, I find veterans who have lived all over the world, who have, you know, served in, you know, combat, non-combat, have, you know, fulfilled many different, you know, jobs and tasks are so interesting. And so, you know, just as, you know, sitting across the table from, you know, from them over coffee, let alone working side by side with them, I just think, you know, there's so much that they can offer. And I would encourage you to share your life story and, you know, and your professional experience and attributes and be proud of that. And I think most people, it's well received.
Yes, and you know, I know this episode will be aired on Veterans Day or Veterans Week, and you know, it'll be archived. But what are some things to kind of the workplace can do to honor the veterans and kind of take a moment of you know, they did this for our country, but not, you know, go over the top kazoos and, you know, circus, sure, and all that. Because I know some of the veterans are like, well, I did my service and I just want to work and, you know, and a plaque's nice every once in a while.
Sure. Well, I think a simple thank you for your service goes a long way. And so, you know, again, when it comes to managing people, whether it's veterans, whether it's, you know, anybody, as a supervisor, an employer, you know your people, know their life story, know their background, know their motivations. So some veterans, you know, would appreciate recognition. Some might just appreciate, you know, a simple pat on the back or an email that says thank you. So I do think it's important for an organization to take time out to have a plan. I mean, you know, I can tell you Robert Half, you know, makes a point to, you know, have a plan about their veterans. And they reached out to every one of us and asked us, you know, like, hey, do you want to be a part of, you know, telling your story? If so, send us, you know, this information. And so they had a plan, and those who wanted to share did, and those who didn't, you know, passed.
Yeah, and hopefully they, you know, they share their story at dinner or wherever they may be. And, you know, in the workplace, the assumption maybe is that, oh, they're a veteran, they have leadership skills, and let's just throw them in and give them a project. I know that may not be a great idea, because that sounds like setting them up to fail.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think in general, there are some skills like leadership, like open to change, work ethic. I mean, there are some things that, you know, are pretty typical, you know, from somebody coming from the military. But that doesn't mean everybody, you know, wants to be a manager or a leader, or, you know, that particular attribute is their strength. Maybe there's other things that they're good at or that matter to them. And so again, it's taking stock of your, you know, your person on your team and knowing who are they, what are their strengths, you know, what are their aspirations and their motivations. And so you still have to take that moment as an employer to understand your team and manage that.
And how, from your experience in the Air Force and then even, you know, staffing, helping people staff and all that, what is a critical thing across the board, even civilians and veterans, of assembling a team for a project? What are some, I mean, all the projects are different and things,
sure,
like that, but what should a leader look for?
Well, I mean, I would say diversity. You know, I mean, there's so many different variables in managing a project depending on the size, scope, and type of project. And so, you know, as a project, you know, as a manager, as a project manager, as whoever's leading that initiative, you really kind of want to take stock of, you know, what are we trying to accomplish here, and, you know, and what do we need? And then kind of break that down through your resources and look at some of those skill sets, you know, that, you know, could come from anybody, but that are, you know, pretty prominent in veterans, and see if you can leverage that on that project.
And I know the thing is hiring a veteran and things like that, but sometimes there's that veteran that's like, you know what, I got a cool idea, I got a business idea, I'm going to strike it out on my own. What are some things that a veteran can do to sort of prepare so they don't, you know, there's that mantra of fail fast and if the ideas, but to me, I'm like, let's figure it out. You know, let's weather the storm. If it's a really valuable idea, let's push forward.
Well, I would say, you know, if you have an entrepreneurial spirit and you have a great idea, again, I would treat that just as a job search. You know, go out and do your research, know your resources, you know, and get out there and, you know, make it happen. And if it doesn't work, then, you know, have your plan B. But I don't think it's really any different than whether you were an aspiring entrepreneur from the commercial sector or, you know, a veteran with a great idea. Although I would say there's probably some resources out there that are targeted to veterans. So maybe leverage that and go out and research and take advantage of it, you know, if you find something.
Yeah, definitely. There's a couple that I can think of, like the Radar Project is, you know, specifically for Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Reconnaissance guys and girls. So what are some final things that you know, people can prepare? I'm sort of wanting to see sort of a movement of, you know, civilians and veterans coming together and say, hey, we can solve this workforce problem and we can get these guys hired and gals hired and make them valuable community members.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the first thing, you know, that I would say on both sides is take a moment to try to understand the other side. You know, so as an employer, I mean, we're in a shortage right now for talent. And so don't dismiss a whole sector because of stereotypes or assumptions. Like, go out and do your due diligence and your research and think about, you know, what are those skills that could benefit my team? And then as a veteran, do the same. Like, go out and know your value, know the job market and the civilian economy, and be able to define and articulate what you bring. So I think that if each side kind of meets in the middle, employers, you know, make a little bit extra effort to understand those skill sets that are coming from the military, and those military members and veterans actually make an effort to research and understand the civilian job market and, you know, define their skills and value that they bring. By those two meeting in the middle and each doing their part, you know, we're going to make a lot more connections.
Definitely. And even having if the civilian is the one thing, one takeaway that I wish a civilian could understand is the acronym MOS. Why don't you educate? Military Occupational Specialty.
Yes. It's been a long time, but yeah, I mean, you know, everybody has a specialization and a skill that they were, you know, trained in. And so, I mean, you know, just like on the outside sector, you're going to have, you know, a specific functional role. And so that's essentially what that is. And so it really doesn't matter what that code or that specific title is. It's the actual duties and tasks that, you know, it took to be successful in that MOS or, you know, in that functional role on the outside.
I think the MOS, it's just fascinating. Like, you'll get, like, I mean, obviously infantrymen, there's, you know, you're invading countries and
sure,
saving people. But below that, there's all these, like, descriptions of, you know, we cared for our weapons, we
right,
supplied. But then you get, like, an accountant, and it's like, you know, they funded the thing. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that...
Yeah, I mean, the military is a big corporation, you know, so even though the, you know, MOS, the functional roles, if you will, might sound a little bit different or unique, at the end of the day, if you really dissect that job description, it's very comparable to, you know, what somebody is doing for, you know, corporate America or for a small business or, you know, out in the outside economy. So it's just, you know, connecting the dots.
Exactly. And they have, like you hit it on the head, it's a massive organization. It rivals Fortune 500 budgets. So
absolutely. So I mean, when you think about the size and scope of, you know, a platoon leader and what they manage compared to, you know, a team that they might be managing on the outside, often, you know, your experience and exposure in the military sector is, you know, a much larger size and scope and level of responsibility that could really benefit a company on the outside. So again, as the veteran, as the job seeker, knowing that and being able to articulate that is really important.
And finally, what are some final things that you wish to instill on our workforce, whether it's, you know, a device or, you know, a changing market or something for a civilian or veteran to take away?
Wow. So What I would say as a final takeaway is on both sides. I mean, there is a demand. You know, on the employer side, there is a demand for skilled talent. And as I mentioned, there's a shortage. And so, you know, it is upon the employer to go out and do their due diligence to recruit and attract top talent. And by dismissing a whole sector, you are missing out. I mean, as I mentioned early on, you know, when I first did the transition, I didn't get a response from a lot of companies. And, you know, now, you know, I work for an organization that recognized my, you know, military status and what the value was. And, you know, I'm proud to say not only for my service for, you know, the military and our country, but my service to thousands and thousands of employers and job seekers. And, you know, I am a top recruiter for Robert Half International, and they benefit from that as well. So for an employer, if they would have passed over that, I mean, they would have lost out on me and vice versa, you know? And so I think for a veteran, you know, same thing. You have to take the due diligence to go out and understand, you know, what the demand is, what the job market looks like, and how do your skills fit into that, and what value do you bring. And so, again, if both sides do that, I think that, you know, there is going to be a meeting in the middle that will solve a lot of this supply and demand imbalance that we see today.
Definitely. And we'll see that, you know, 11.8 million number shrink and become, you know, the percentages be more and have a better economy and, you know, all the things. Too much math beyond my level.
But, sure.
But Renee, I thank you for your service to our country, and thank you for, you know, advocating for veterans and being the voice. I know sometimes it's a hard torch to carry, and you're like, oh, not again. But, you know, thank you for continuing to advocate for veterans and advocating for yourself as well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, as a military brat, you know, my dad served. As a military veteran myself, as a employer, I really appreciate the service that every veteran and the sacrifice that every veteran has made. And so I thank your listeners, you know, for their service.
Definitely. Thanks for listening to the Valor Podcast. Make sure to like us on Facebook, and you can go subscribe on iTunes and Google Play or any podcast management app. Visit our webpage at thevalorpodcast.com. That's thevalorpodcast.com. Finally, find your mission. There are many veteran organizations, nonprofits, and veterans needing your help. I promise you'll make some great friends. And if you're in need of some highly skilled workers, look to hire a veteran. I promise they'll make your workplace a better place when they leave it. Thanks again, and have a great week.